There's a lot of memories. You know, God has given us memory. So how many of you consider yourselves to have a good memory? Okay. So if you're like I am, you have many happy memories. You can remember many happy memories through your life of your family, getting together, gathering, just like I shared with my grandpa. That's a happy memory. But, you know, with the good memory also comes remembering the bad too. We remember bad things that happened too, even though we wish we wouldn't. I remember an interview with Glenn Campbell when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And, you know, he was quite a jokester anyway. And they were asking how he was dealing with it, how he was feeling about having Alzheimer's. And he says, I kind of like it. He said, there's a lot of things in my life I wanted to forget anyway. And so, you know, and that is kind of funny, but it's kind of a reality too. It's what we all have to think about, because I think we all have things maybe we remember in our lives that we wish we didn't have to remember. But if you have a good memory, you can go all the way back. What is your earliest memory? I remember one of my earliest memories. I had to be a toddler. I was told by my mother, do not walk across the road unless somebody holds your hand. And I decided I was going to run across the road. And all I remember was that somebody jerked me back across the road. I don't remember anything else. Why I remember that one, I do not know. But we remember the good and the bad. God has given us this memory, and really, we don't really have a choice in how we remember things. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us, but even after He forgives us, we still remember sinning. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if when we got forgiven, we never had to remember the sins anymore? Wouldn't that be easier? That would be so much easier. And the message of the world today is just forget about the past. Here's a couple of things I found. Forget your past. Never think about it too much. Just concentrate on your future. Here's another one. Do not let the shadows of your past darken the doorstep of your future. Forgive and forget. They all sound good, and I understand the sentiment. But the fact is, we can't forget. It's impossible to forget. Now, I'm not suggesting that we wallow in self-pity, that we live our lives in despair and shame. But God has given us our memories for a purpose. And I think there's times that we need to reflect back and get a clear perspective on our spiritual journey. And a good time to do that is at the beginning of a new year. So as we look today in Ephesians chapter 2, I see three insights on why we should look back on our spiritual journey. The first insight, we should look back so we will be grateful that we're spiritually alive. So last week, we looked in Ephesians chapter 1, and we studied how God has blessed Christians. And we need to live like we're blessed. At the end of the chapter, there's a beautiful, glorious prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Chapter 2, Paul changes direction, and he reminds these Ephesians of their past. So turn with me here. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking just at the first three verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires. So this is heavy. This is dark. Look at the first phrase. As for you, you were dead. Not talking about physical death. It says they were dead in their transgressions and sin. A sin is anything that is apart from God's perfect standard. Paul says they used to live in these sins. This is a word that describes a person's lifestyle. Sin had dominated their lives. And Paul says to these Christians, you used to follow the world. The world is a system that's working against God. He says you followed the kingdom of the air. This is the devil, the personal force of evil. And then Paul includes himself, and he says, basically, I used to live this way too. Paul describes it as gratifying the cravings of the flesh. This is a continuous word. It's the way people naturally live. If you're not following Jesus, this is just the way people live. It's a tendency that people live, that we live this way, and it's a choice that we make. And Paul says we deserved wrath. So, why would Paul bring up such negative thoughts? I mean, when you start reflecting on your sinful past, it can get a little uncomfortable. You start remembering your mistakes. So why would you ever want to start thinking about things like that again? Well, the fact is we cannot forget them, and we must not forget them. If we do, we will never appreciate all Jesus did for us. The point of these verses is to point out how far God has brought you out. To me, these verses kind of remind me of the television show The Walking Dead. Have you ever seen The Walking Dead before? Well, here's a little image for you there. It's filmed right here in Georgia, and it presents a world overrun by zombies. They're called The Walking Dead. They're basically dead humans. They travel around in groups, and they're walking around looking to eat people. Isn't that a nice thought for Sunday morning? And there is a group of survivors out here, and they try to survive. They try to stay alive so that the zombies do not get them. Now, these zombies are not thinking. They're just walking around. They're just existing. And there's no hope for the zombie. You can't correct them. You can't heal them. The only thing you can do is kill them. I know this is really unusual for a sermon today, but for Christians, we can all relate to this in one way. See, we were all dead in sin. We were all the walking dead. We didn't have any hope. But Jesus changed that. So how did Jesus change it? Look at our text again. This is in verses 4 through 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God took the initiative. Because of his love, because of his mercy, it says he made us alive. It says he raised us up in Christ. He seated us with him. And this all happened when God raised Jesus from the dead. So why do we remember our lives before we knew Jesus, when we were lost? See, Christians are in a very unique position. We can remember when we were dead in sin. We can remember that. And we remember when we were made alive. That means we live a life of gratefulness. If we never remembered being lost, then how would we ever appreciate being saved? So do we remember? Christians are grateful because they've been made alive in Christ. They don't want to return to the life of the walking dead. So why should we reflect back on our spiritual journey? The second insight, we look back so we won't make salvation about ourselves. So how were we made alive? So let's look back at our text here. Verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not by works, so that no one can boast. Notice the word grace. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace is a word for unmerited favor. It's undeserved. It's unearned. This verse says, this is not from yourselves. Salvation is not something you achieve. It is a gift of God. Salvation comes from God. It doesn't come from us. So why would we think back on our salvation? Why do we remember how we were dead in sin and how Jesus saved us? Verse 9 gives us the answer. so that we will not boast. It's the natural way of the world. The world says we are a walking resume of what we accomplished. And who we are is because of our race and because of our gender. Salvation is not about what you've done. Although everything today is about what a person has done. Jesus saved us. We didn't save ourselves. But we take credit for everything in our lives. Part of the reason we do it is because of the way that we were raised. I remember when I was in school, I always had these friends that would brag about their vehicle. Do you remember this? They would brag about their truck or their car. And they were so proud, and they would kind of look down on you because you didn't have as nice a vehicle as them. And they were very boastful about it. But where did they get this vehicle? Their mom and dad bought it for them. But mom and dad never came up in the conversation because they were just proud of their vehicle. They go on and live their lives that way. They take credit for everything that happens in their life. And if it's a success, then they take credit for it. They believe they've accomplished everything. Paul's writing to Christians, and he's reminding them that good works wasn't what saved them. Their salvation was a gift of God. It wasn't something they earned. It wasn't something that they could brag about as an accomplishment. Now, I'm very proud of my nephew, Jonathan. You might remember Jonathan. He came to visit the church here, and I'm really proud of Jonathan. Jonathan's going to do well in his life. He's a senior this year in high school, and I just love him. He's a very humble young man. He was baptized a few weeks ago. So I'm just very proud of him. But he has a natural humility about him. When he got his driver's license, his mom and dad said, "Well, we're going to buy you a vehicle." So they went and found him a used vehicle. A nice vehicle, but it was used. Not the top of the line, not the best. And when he received this vehicle, he was very grateful. He said, "Thank you." And he was appreciative of it. Now, he would never tell anybody, "I bought this myself." He would never brag about that. If his parents had bought him a brand new vehicle, he would have the same attitude because he knows where the gift came from. When we reflect back on our spiritual journey, we'll be grateful and humble because it was God's grace that saved us. It was out of His love, out of His compassion. We don't deserve it. There's great value in reflecting back on our spiritual journey. The third insight, we look back so we will live our lives with a godly purpose. Now, up to this point, we see that God saved us through Jesus, and He delivered us from a spiritually dead condition. And that's as far as some people go. They constantly think about how Jesus saved them. But more than just saving us from hell, God had another purpose for us. Let's look here back at our text, Ephesians 2. I'm going to look at verses 6 and 7 and then jump to verse 10. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Jumping down to verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do." Verse 6 says, "God saved us," verse 7, "in order that He might show the riches of His grace." The word "show" there means to put on display. God saved us so that we would shine for Him. And we would shine to the unseen spiritual world, and we would shine to the world around us. One preacher said it this way: we are God's trophy of grace. We are evidence that God took our life that was lost, and He made us, He changed us, and He made us alive. He created us with a purpose. Verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork." This is the English word for the word poem. He created us, just like He created the world. So we don't randomly exist. We don't just float around trying to find purpose in the world. We are God's piece of work. I remember one young man, he grew up in a home where his father was a woodworker and his grandpa was a woodworker. And they were very talented. He grew up to make wood. And I remember his parents proudly showing me an oak dresser that this young man had made. And every time his parents used that dresser, they knew that it was built and fashioned by their son. And now it was being used for a purpose. See, we're God's workmanship. So how do we show God off? It says we were created to do good works. So we can't even take credit for it. It says we were created to do works which He prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus already has good works planned for us to do. You know, we just lost one of my favorite heroes, musical heroes, Charlie Pride. Charlie Pride is always one of my favorites from a very young age. And he was raised in Sledge, Mississippi. He came from a family of 11 children, and he grew up in a shotgun house. They slept three or four children to a bed. It was a working family. Ironically enough, he had to pick cotton. Well, Charlie hated picking cotton. But as a teenager, he decided he was going to try to outdo his dad. He wanted to pick more cotton than his dad. So they were in the rows picking cotton, and he was right by his father, side by side as they went. And he picked cotton just as fast as his daddy. And they put it in their sacks. And when they finally got done to weigh how much they picked, his dad had 30 pounds more than he did. And Charlie couldn't believe it. His dad took him back down the row to the cotton plants he'd picked. And he picked up the leaf, and underneath the leaf, there was cotton underneath. You see, he had picked the cotton on the top, but he hadn't picked what was underneath there. And his father told him something he would never forget. He said, "Son, there's an art to everything. You're getting everything in sight. I was getting everything in sight and out of sight." And what a truth that is. There is an art to everything. God created us. We are His work of art. We were created to show Him off. Colossians 3:23 says, "Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord." So every day we are doing something to show God off in what we're doing. So let me challenge you. Are you doing something? Will you do something every day to show Jesus off in what you do? So how are we supposed to know what God wants us to do? Well, just try doing everything. Everything you do, try to do it for Him. God has tailor-made you to do good works for Him. And I think your spiritual journey is going to help you determine what that work is. I want you to think back over your life. Think about the lessons that you've learned. And they might be that those lessons might teach you something about what God wants you to do in the future. See, God gave us a memory to reflect back over our life, even our sinful past, so that we will appreciate the life that we have right now. He'll also teach us through these lessons how to live for the future. When we seriously look at our spiritual journey, we're going to see those times we fail. We're going to remember those times when we faltered. Look at the writer of this epistle, Paul. He came to Jesus later in his life. As a young man, he was a Pharisee. He was an expert in the law. He hated Christians. He had them arrested and killed, and God stopped him on the road to Damascus and blinded him and brought him low and changed him, and Saul repented of his sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, he was baptized. And his sins were washed away, and he was a new creation. But how often did Paul think back on his own sins? These past sins stayed in his mind, and they came out in his writings. In our text today, Paul talks to these Christians about their sins, and he says, "I too used to live this way." But Paul never made himself more than what he was. I want you to look here. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul calls himself the worst sinner. Paul calls himself the chief of all sinners. Paul couldn't help it. He remembered his past. And we can't forget our past either. People may look at your past mistakes and they may say that you're useless and they may say that you're flawed and they may be critical of them. And trust me, this can go on for many years. People can remember what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. They will remember. And somehow, people that just are unhappy in life, they're going to keep throwing it back up in your face. But just like the Apostle Paul, we don't have to hide in shame. Because we know that we are God's work of art. We are forgiven. And He has a purpose for us. God can take those past mistakes and those failures and make you into something to be used by Him. So instead of people seeing us as a failure, we are walking evidence that God can forgive anybody. And that we can be used for His purpose. He created us for good works. God saved us for a purpose. And see, since God has brought you and me into 2021, that means He has a purpose for you. But He's also given you a memory so that when you look back over your life, you'll be grateful and you'll see that God saved you. But you also realize it's not about you. It's about His purpose for our lives. Well, this week I received some very shocking news. One of the staff members at the Christian college that I graduated from died suddenly. His name was Jim. Jim was 58 years old, in good health, happily married, 31 years, had a Christian wife and three daughters. He died unexpectedly of an irregular heartbeat. He was a healthy man. He just had an irregular heartbeat. He was really talented. He wrote songs. He taught. He was also an actor, and he was very funny. He could be very funny, just naturally around him. One of the things he did, the college I went to, we always had a play every year, and he acted in the play. One year, he did the part of Barney Fife. I'll tell you one thing, he did an amazing job. He sounded like him, he looked like him, he was the funniest person around. But one thing about him, he was just a loving person. So I watched his funeral this week online. It was very touching. It basically reflected his life and how he led it for Christ. But the most touching were the two adult girls, his daughters, who stood up and talked about their dad. And they used a lot of humor, and they just shared memories. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing that they shared. And one of the girls said, I knew my dad always loved me. He always told me he loved me. I have no doubts about that. But whatever they said, it always came back to his faith, how he would talk to them about Jesus, how he would answer their questions, how he would pray for them. And they said they saw Jesus in their dad, and you could tell. These girls were Christians. And one of the girls said every morning when she would wake up, she would see her father studying his Bible. Ironically enough, the night before he died, he was having a Bible study at his house, and he was teaching it. And so when the preacher got up to do the funeral, he used that very same passage that Jim had taught from in his Bible study. Well, Jim had many talents. But all together, it was his love for Jesus. And Jesus put them all together, and then they flowed together in his love for his family and his church and whatever he did. His life was a work of art displaying Jesus. And everyone who knew him saw Jesus shining through him. So when he died, everybody knew where he had gone. He was with Jesus. You know, that can happen in a moment. Now, fortunately for Jim and his family, they knew completely where he was. They knew. And that was a great comfort to them. It was a great help to them knowing that. But it's a reminder to us that things can happen very suddenly, very rapidly. You can be in good health and you can have everything going together. And the Lord says, it's time. We have this beautiful time when you have an opportunity to choose Jesus. See, everybody's choosing something in their life. You're going to choose Jesus or you're not going to choose Jesus. So our invitation is your opportunity to make that choice and to say, Jesus, I come to you. He doesn't ask for anything other than you just come to him and he will repair. He'll take care of the sin. He'll wipe the sin away. And he, if you trust him, he will lead you to the life that he wants you to lead. So let's all stand as we sing our invitation hymn.